Good morning. Welcome. We're so happy to have you with us today, and we just have a couple of quick announcements, and all of our announcements each week are in a newsletter. If you're new with us, or maybe you don't get the newsletter, you could fill out the Connect card that's in front of you and turn it into the offering, or you can give it to myself or one of the ushers. Just wanted to let you know of a few things happening. Let me open the newsletter real quick. I know. The women are having the unique women's conference that's in Evangel in Bismarck, the really large one. I think you've gone to at different points in the time in the past few years. And so we're interested in, our ladies are interested in that again. And so if you could sign up on the sign-up sheet in the back, or if you have questions, you could talk to Becky. There's like two conferences, so there's 2 days that you can choose from. So that's kind of the catch this year that you should kind of think about. And so you could talk to Becky about that and get that figured out, okay? Sorry, I'm really sorry. This is terrible, but I can't find my announcements. I had them up, and in my email, like, deletes them. I know, and then I don't put it on the paper. Yeah. What? The water park. The youth are going to the water park. And if anyone wants to join, they'll buy you a duck suit, water swimsuit for you. Oh my goodness. Okay, we're going to move on. If there's any other more important, be praying about Vacation Bible School. We have a ton of help, which is awesome, and all the churches, different churches are coming together. So be keeping that in prayer. That's in 2 weeks from tomorrow. We'll begin that. So be in prayer for them. Ushers, why don't you come forward, and we'll take up this morning's tithes and offerings, and then in just a moment, we're going to hear from some of the youth that were at camp. And so they could prepare to speak. All right. Heavenly Father, God, we love you, Lord. And we just come in a continuation of our worship time and our giving into your kingdom, God, and just returning what you've blessed us with. We recognize our need for you, and we recognize what you provide for us, what you bless us with. And we just give a portion of that back to you. And so we just pray for the ministries and the things that will help to advance your kingdom. And so we just want to be a part of that. And so I just pray a blessing over each gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. For blind, I see. Was great. My heart is filled, and grace my fears relieved. How precious gift that grace appeared beyond. So hearts break when we burn.
Awesome. All right. I'm going to ask Nathan or Dora, whoever's leading, and the youth that are speaking, if you'd like to come up. So the past couple weeks, they've gone to camp for junior high camp and high school camp. And so we just wanted to hear a little bit of the testimonies of what the Lord has done in these weeks. So. Oh, everybody's coming. Oh, my goodness.
Pastor's going to have to cut his sermon down to 30 minutes today.
No.
Is this on? Woo. So the last couple of weeks, we've had 11 youth attend Lakewood Bible Camp. So, and we had one attend Fahocha Bible Camp. As a leader, you pray that these kids will connect with Jesus and other youth. As a leader, I mean, we probably have just as much fun up there and a connection as much as a youth. I attended the junior high camp. I had six youth attend. All six youth recommitted their life to Christ that week. And we had one that was baptized by the Holy Spirit for the second time that week. Like I said, as a leader, you pray that they, get the Holy Spirit in there, and they're just filled with the Holy Spirit. I noticed it the last day. Three of the days I worked in the snack shack, so usually towards the end of altar time, I would run to the snack shack and start deep frying mozzarella sticks, which I only had one the whole week. Amen. The last week, or the last day on Thursday, I was in the snack shack, and I just felt I had to go back to the altar. We were just kind of standing there, and none of the students were coming to the snack shack yet, and we're like, but I just felt I had to go back to the altar, or back to the sanctuary. So I went back to the sanctuary. When I left, the boys were not up there. When I got back up there, both boys were up there, and they were both, you visibly could see the Holy Spirit working in them. One particular one, you could hear him praying among the 300 students up there. You could hear him verbally praying for other students. You've seen him go from one side of the sanctuary to the other side of the sanctuary to the other side of the sanctuary praying for these students. And you could see it in his face. You could hear it in his voice that the Holy Spirit was working through him to the point where he got done. We got done. We're walking out. He came up to me, and his voice was hoarse. And he couldn't, as a leader, it was a phenomenal week. Even when I almost got stuck underneath the church van playing hide and go seek. But that ended the week. So, who wants to start?
Hello, I'm Alyssa. My parents are Ashley and Ted. They're right over there. Last year, I did not want to go to youth camp for the life of me. I begged my parents not to make me go, but my little sister wanted to go really, really badly, and my mom was like, well, if you want to go, you better convince Alyssa. So Anna convinced me to go to camp, and I loved it. And this year is my second year, and I loved it so much. On Monday, we were sitting at the altar call, and I had this vision, and it was a vision of this office. And there was a cross on the wall. I seen a desk. I seen my chair. And before all of this, I wanted to go into eschatology. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's my eschatology office. It's going to be so great. And then on Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, it's kind of all jammed together. On Wednesday, God gave a calling on my life. And I was like, this is not really what I want to do. And he was like, you're going to go into psychology. You're going to go between these three colleges in North Dakota, and you're not North Dakota, there's one in like Minneapolis, but you're going to choose between these three, you're going to go tour them and whatever. And I was like, that is so crazy. And then I think it was it like Tuesday? Like, it was like, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday as well. We were down at the altar call, and the pastor that was speaking, he was like, you know, all of us are about to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, all of us. And if you really don't know what to say, you can either repeat after me or just pray out loud, whatever. So I was like, okay. He had the story about how the first time he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he was just repeating after his youth pastor, and it all just came out of his mouth. And so I was like, okay, I'll just do that too. And that night, I had gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was praying in tongues for, like, everybody around me, and it was just so powerful, and it was just filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
I'm Sarah. I think it was either Wednesday or Thursday, whenever we did, like, I don't know, when we did, like, callings on our life, we were all, like, all down at the altar, and he, like, was like, if you feel called to, like, ministry, raise your hand, if you call to missions or whatever, and so I felt a really strong calling to go into youth ministry, and it got confirmed that I had to go to Trinity to do youth ministry, and I don't know, one of the days, he was talking about, like how our phones have become our idols these days. And so I was feeling really convicted because I spent a lot of time on my phone. It's actually like really crazy. So I was too tired that night, but the next morning I deleted all my social media accounts because the amount I spend on social media is absurd. So now I don't have social media.
Just want to say thank you to all of you that support all of the fundraisings that we do. Thank you so much. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. Thank you. We have so much testimony to share, but trust me, this year compared to last year was way so powerful. We see a lot of growth on them. So thank you for all the time and all the money that you are investing on our ministry. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to pray real fast for those young people. A lot of times, it doesn't happen only at camp. You know, you've encountered the Lord and in different places, and when you're seeking what you're going to do with the rest of your life, or if you're dreaming as a young, you know, in school we ask young kids, what do you want to do with the rest of your life, you know, like they're really supposed to know, right? But God does put dreams and visions on our hearts at a young age to kind of help us to kind of know or kind of go in that direction, if you know what I mean. And so the goals of these camps is to encounter God, and they do have fun during the day, and there's a lot of spiritual time in the evenings and in the mornings where they're learning to seek God. We probably should do that more at home. When we get old, we tend to work more and choose other things more than seeking God, but these are camps where you're kind of, that's the focus. And so they've encountered the Lord in a special way, and appreciate these testimonies, and it's amazing. We give God the glory for that. So I just want to pray real fast. Lord God, we just love you. We thank you for the testimonies that were shared and even those that didn't share, Lord, but they have experienced just a closeness to you these past few weeks at different camps they've gone to, Lord. And as adults, we remember, we look back or think back on our times that we had similar moments in our walk with you, Lord. And so I just pray your Holy Spirit, God, would just seal the work that's been done. God, your word promises that the Holy Spirit would just help us, would just protect the work, and that the enemy, we're going to talk today about the attack of the enemy that probably these girls and boys have experienced already, just the doubts or the lies of the enemy that was this really real, did God really do that? Lord, and the enemy would come and try to snatch away the things that the work that you've done in their life. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that you protect and just guide them, lead them as they're choosing colleges or careers. Lord, as they're seeking you more, if they're junior hires and they don't have to worry about what they're doing in their career yet, but they should worry about drawing close to you, Lord, and just growing in their relationship with you. So Holy Spirit, bless them and help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about the shield of faith. We're continuing our message on the armor of God. And today, we're going to focus on the shield of faith. This is the verse that we've kind of read. We read earlier already. And in verse 16, we're going to jump to that. So if you want to go to the next slide, I believe. In verse 16, we have some added context to the pieces of armor. Okay, so we've read through all these pieces, you know, take up this or put on that, right? And in verse 16, says, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So who is the evil one? The devil, our enemy, right? And verse 12 expounds on who our battle is with. Okay? For we do not wrestle, we do not struggle. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. These evil spirits, these are fallen angels and under the rank of Satan. And here we're given a list of a variety of terms that we can understand maybe as different levels or ranks in the evil spiritual realm. On the opposite side, so God has ranks of angels. You have warring angels, and you have ministering angels. You have messenger angels. We see some of that in who spoke to Mary when she was to give birth to the Messiah. And so we see some of those names. I don't want to get on that side of that's not what we're talking about today, but we see that on both the good and the bad, okay? God's side and the evil side. There's kind of these rankings of angels and demons. So on this part of it, we don't know exactly what their specific jobs are, but they all have the same goal, and that's to knock the Christian down and to defeat us. So I want to stress today something that's stressed in this verse. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. That means it's not against other humans, okay? Paul uses this term, wrestle or struggle, and it denotes a hand-to-hand battle, a wrestling, okay, a fighting, okay? Whereas flesh and blood wrestling was a common sport in Ephesus and the province of Asia, the church is engaged in a spiritual fight of cosmic dimensions, which makes God's armor and weapons necessary. Earlier in the chapter of Ephesians, we're told how the parent-child relationship should be. But our enemy is not our mom and dad, or our grandma and grandpa, or our children. That's not who our battle is against. That's not our enemy. We're also told earlier in Ephesians how our employer and employee relationship should be. But our enemy is not our boss, okay? Or our coworker or our employer. They're not the enemy. Earlier in chapter 4 tells us not to lie to our neighbors or allow anger to ruin our relationship. That the devil tries to get a foothold, a stronghold. If he can just weasel his way in between a relate, like put a wedge in a relationship. That's his goal, right? And he tries to exploit those relationships or friendships. Our enemy is not our neighbor or our former friends. Anybody. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is the devil. All his demons, every force of evil. In this analogy of the shield, he attacks us with flaming arrows. In a battle, the enemy would be armed with arrows that are, the ends are dipped in a pitch and lit on fire, and hundreds of archers would pull their bows back at the same time and light them up and launch these flaming arrows at the opposing armies, trying to strike them down, trying to cause whatever damage, right? In a spiritual sense, the forces of evil pull their bows back, load their arrows onto the bow, and these arrows have different titles, I would put. And so I've kind of made this with some of, this is not a complete list of what the arrows could be called or what the weapons of their warfare are. There's probably more, but this is a good list. We're going to walk through here for a few moments, okay? These are the flaming arrows that Satan and all those demons will try to launch at you, try to attack you with, okay? This is what Paul and the Holy Spirit speaking through him. This is what we are warned about. This is what our shield is for, okay? To hold up against these flaming arrows that are coming at us. So first off is lust. 1 John 2:16 says, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life comes from the world. Jesus refers to Satan as the prince of this world, John 14:30. Okay, so if lust of the flesh and lies and pride comes from the world, it comes from Satan, who's the prince of this world. 2 Peter 2:18 says, for speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. Okay? The lust of the flesh. They try to entice us by sensual passions. Another arrow, deception. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says that Satan deceives. He disguises himself, or masquerades, your Bible might say, as an angel of light. This topic, this one right here, we could go a long ways. There's a few different ways that he deceives, okay? He imitates, he counterfeits. The devil will use false teachers to lead Christians away from God. It's happening today. It was happening 2,000 years ago. If you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, like that's what Paul was writing against, okay? Um, preachers and or doctrine that seems nice. It could be almost true, like 99.9%. Oh, they're pretty accurate. They're pretty good. And then they'll kind of sneak in their own doctrine, right? We have to be careful. Like I said, throughout 1 and 2 Corinthians, there's other New Testament books. We have warnings of teachers who will come with a different gospel. And in the end times, which we're in, okay, in the end times, the faithful and godly believers may be deceived and turn away from it. So be careful what you're learning. If you ever question something I say from up here, okay, you need to read your Bible and talk to me about it, okay? But do that with everything. Thank you, Sarah, for talking about your phones. But on our phones, you're going to get a lot of videos or preachers preaching or just little cute little sayings that, oh, man, that's good. But is it right? Is it true? Okay? Is it false doctrine? You want to be careful. We don't want to be the faithful, godly believers that fall away in the end times. But that's Satan trying to deceive us. Satan tries to deceive us by imitating the miraculous. By demonic power, things can be done that may look as miraculous as what God can do. I remember the story of Moses and when he was telling Pharaoh to let his people go and he would throw his staff down and it would turn into a snake. Well, then Pharaoh and his magicians could do the same thing. And they would do different things. You could read up on that. In Acts chapter 8, there's a magician named Simon, a sorcerer. And those verses say that he was well known to the Samaritans. He was empowered by the devil to do magic. And he sees Peter and the other disciples ministering, and he offers them to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. But Peter knew that he was not right in the sight of God. In Revelation, there's prophecies that the beast and the false prophet will perform great signs and wonders, reminiscent of those performed by the servants of God, it says, Revelation 13 and 16 as well. Okay? There's going to be people that look Christian, and maybe they have been very strong in the past. Maybe they're influential leaders, and they get off on the wrong way. We want to know the truth. So stay grounded. We're going to talk about that. Stay grounded in the Word of God. Another way he deceives is through counterfeits. When Satan imitates, he does something genuine for ungodly purposes. When he counterfeits, he does something false so as to make it appear genuine. That's quoting from David Jeremiah. In Jesus' parable of the wheat, I was almost going to talk about this during prayer time, but there's a few different parables that he uses. The seeds that are sown in different areas, right? If it lands on good soil, it's going to be good. But if it lands where, the weeds can, it lands on hard soil and doesn't plant, right? It comes along and snatches it away. Different things like that. But in the parable of the wheat in Matthew 13, the kingdom of God is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares or weeds among the wheat. Jesus is saying this, that as you're planting good seed, the enemy is coming along and trying to plant bad. What's that look like in our life? Well, you come to church, you come to youth camp, you study the word, and then someone else comes along and says, yeah, but what about this? Like if you send your money, this send it to me and we'll bless you, right? Whatever. Anyway, I don't want to go off on those. But there's false prophets that'll come along. The enemy will come along with lies and trying to get you to fall away. And he'll plant those seeds of weeds and tares. Our enemy deceitfully comes along through imitation and counterfeit and straight up deception. He will try and plant doubt or fear or distrust with hopes that it will take root and grow to ruin God's harvest in our life. The times that we think, man, we're on fire for the Lord, like God is so awesome, and we're growing, and something is said, something is done in our life, and it sows that doubt or sows fear, right? So the devil will try to deceive. The next arrow, kind of, you'll see there's kind of a common theme among all of this. He lies. John 8:44, Jesus calls Satan the father of lies. That's what he does. That's his native language. Jesus continues, there is no truth in him. Okay? The devil is a liar. He's a deceiver. Right? He steals, kills, and destroys. We're going to go off on all of that. It's kind of the theme. Because he lies, he doesn't speak truth. One author said the two basic lies of the enemy, number one, is temptations, that Satan downplays sin. And number two is accusations, that Satan downplays God's grace. He'll downplay sin by saying, oh, it's not that big a deal if you do that. And he'll downplay God's grace and saying, I don't know if God can forgive you for that. Have you heard those? The devil is a liar. He lies about who you are. He lies about who God is. Sometimes he might quote from the Bible, which is truth, but he always will twist it, and it'll always cause you to question it, to confuse you, or to tempt you in certain ways. Remember, he did this to Adam and Eve. He did it to Jesus. Okay? And we'll study Jesus' response later in a few weeks when we look at the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But each time Satan tempted Jesus by quoting Scripture, Jesus quoted Scripture back and what the truth of it or what that was meaning, because Satan was trying to misguide and misuse those Scriptures. He lies to make you feel isolated. He lies to make you feel unhappy or unfulfilled. He lies, lies, lies. The devil is a liar. The next arrow, he steals, kills, and destroys. This kind of summarizes everything, so it's a little more of a broad, topic. The thief comes, John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life more abundantly. The devil can steal your joy, he could steal your peace, he could steal your hope. He kills emotionally, like again, when you think you're going well, he can kill that, he can steal that, those things, okay? But also, he can even kill physically through rage of murder and anger. He may cause someone to just take the life of another. Or through suicide even. He can cause all the different, we would call it mental health, all the different mental health things in a life and just push and push and push someone to that degree, causing suicide. He destroys life through addictions to sin. We could just put that he destroys through addictions to sin. He destroys relationships, friendships. He steals, kills, destroys. We could probably go on and on more of those. The next arrow, he afflicts and oppresses. Acts 10:38, Peter said of Jesus that God anointed him to heal all who were oppressed by the devil. Again, this is Jesus saying people are oppressed by the devil. Not every illness or affliction should be attributed to the devil. We're not going to give him that much credit, but it is possible. He can gain access to the life of a person through certain sin. He can oppress Christians. He can attempt to steal, kill, destroy our faith. He afflicts and oppresses. Satan is an accuser. The word devil in Greek means slanderer or accuser. As Jesus stands before God as our advocate, as our mediator between us and God, Jesus is standing. He's on our side. Okay, the devil is the one that brings the accusations and he brings the slander against us. One of the most famous examples is that of Job. The devil accused Job of being a faithless believer, claiming he only worships you, God, because you've blessed him. And so if you take away that blessing, he'll stop worshiping you. And the devil still treats Christians the same way. When we sin, Satan accuses us of being unworthy of God's grace. But Jesus steps in and he pleads our case of justification for our forgiveness. It's true that if we sin, that we sin, that part is not slander. But it's not true that we're unworthy. We are very much worthy of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is worthy, and he's invited all of us. We're all worthy because of Jesus. The last one, the devil blinds people. Spiritual blindness. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age," the devil, "has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." This blindness could come in the form of confusion. It could come in the form of resistance or justifying our own actions, in the form of defensiveness or pride. Okay? If a person is being overwhelmed by interference from Satan, it would be difficult for that person to embrace truth. Okay. Enough about all of that, okay? We've given the devil too much time. Now we're going to talk about God. Author John Barnett says, "Each day we walk through life, Satan's dark realm has well-placed archers, arrows ignited and ready to shoot. If Satan's team lands an arrow, the impact and the splatter of his fiercely burning pitch can ignite within our minds doubts about God's goodness, distrust about God's plans, and disobedience to God's words. That's Satan's simple goal. He wins if he can make this flaming arrow start a wedge between us as believers or between us and our Father. Only the shield of faith can extinguish these flaming arrows." Man, this shield, I have a round one there on our other armor. It's a small round one. But in reality, this shield was more rectangular, probably a few feet wide and probably 4 feet tall. And they would make them out of alternating layers of wood, bronze, oxhide. In battle, it could be used side by side. If you could picture, kind of like we see in movies often, the warriors would stand side by side and creating a wall. They would have the next row would be above and kind of creating this protection where they're working together, right? The leather would be soaked in water before the battle so that when those flaming arrows dipped in the pigeon on fire, when those flaming arrows would come and they would hit the shield, they would be extinguished, right? They would fall harmlessly to the ground. When you armor up and when you lock your shield alongside other Christians, right? We're forming this like spiritual tank, okay? And we're advancing. We're moving forward all together, right? And these arrows may be coming at us, but they're just bouncing off. They're extinguished. Boom, 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 right? Our faith, our belief, and our trust in God, our knowledge of Him and His Word, our obedience to His Word, our application of what we learn from God, all of that is what protects us from the flaming arrows of the evil one. 1 John 5:3 says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? Our faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith counteracts the arrows. As a commentary read, faith is the radical openness to God that allows Christ full indwelling, and it brings a deeper grasp of His unfathomable love. Take up the shield of faith, thus suggests a deliberate and positive holding on to the God revealed in the gospel. Our faith is holding on to the Lord, all of His promises, all of His commands. We're doing those. We're applying them to our life. Okay? That's our faith. Faith is more than just a belief in God. A lot of people believe in God. The Bible actually says the demons believe in God and they tremble, right, because they know who He is. A lot of people will say they believe in God. But our faith is our knowledge of, and it's our relationship with God. We can't just say, I believe in God, so here's my shield of faith. We're going to go. Let's go. Okay? No, it's, we would wonder why it's not working. It would be like saying, oh, I want to be a bodybuilder. I want to be one of those big buff guys. And then you just go and you sit in the gym. Because, well, I know that's how they get stronger. They go to the gym, so maybe if I go to the gym, I'll be like them. No. You can't just say, I believe in God. You can't just come and sit in a room. Okay? It's a relationship that's growing. Our faith needs to be growing. And we'll become stronger. If the worship team will come, we'll begin to close. Our faith in God is a growing relationship. One more analogy. How does the shield extinguish fire if it's not soaked in the water? If before the battle they didn't dip it in the water, if they just took their shield to the battle and a flaming arrow hit it, the hide, the whatever material is made of, would start on fire. And it would probably spread to the person or to the people around them, right? So it was vital to submerge the shield in water in preparation of the battle. In Ephesians 5:26, basically what I hope you're getting from today is study the book of Ephesians, okay? In Ephesians 5:26, the word of God is likened to water. So as we regularly submit ourselves to the Word of God, we soak our faith with the Word, just as a Roman soldier would drench his shield. We would soak our shield of faith in the water of the gospel. Romans 10:17 says our faith is increased by hearing the word of God. God is revealed in his, this is his word, and he's revealed in it. His holy scripture tells us the truth of who he is. It tells us the truth of who we are as his children. That whenever the enemy would try any of these, we can come back with the truth of the word. Just like Jesus did. When we hold up that shield of faith, when we're in a battle and we have it, oh man, we're ready. Okay? We're not holding it up with our words. We're not holding it with our authority. We're not holding it with our strength, or we'll be defeated. When we hold up the shield of faith, we're standing behind our relationship with God and all that comes with it. We're standing behind the authority of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. The truth of God's word. And we're standing side by side by other believers that are standing behind their faith. Would you stand with me today? If you could put the last slide up. When the enemy reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Have you heard that saying before? He's defeated in the end. There will be a time when Satan is locked up and no longer able to have freedom on this earth. Remind him of that. When the enemy accuses you of sin, remind him of what Jesus has forgiven you of. Hold on to the promises of God. If God says that you're forgiven, don't listen to the devil that says, oh, you've gone too far, you've done too much, you could never be forgiven of that. No. God says when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. When the enemy lies to you, remind him of the truth of God's word. Be strong in your faith so you can identify the counterfeit. Be strong in your faith so you can recognize the imitations. And remember that we are more than conquerors through God who loves us. Heavenly Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. God, and today I just feel like we've exposed the enemy. Lord, and we've exposed what he's trying to do to destroy us. His goal is to steal, to kill. Lord, but our faith in you, God, and the obedience to your word, and applying the truth of your words to our life, God, we can stand behind with a shield of faith. We can take up our shield. Lord, and when those flaming arrows come, they be extinguished, Lord. Not because of our own strength or our authority, God, but because we're children of God. And we know the truth of it, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you would minister right now. Lord, there's people in this room that have been hit with some of these arrows. Lord, and they need your healing power. They need your transformation, your restoration, God. They need you today. Would you heal them, Lord? Would you forgive them, God, as we confess of these sins that we've fallen, these temptations that we've allowed into our life that have caused the wedge between us and you, God. We confess them today. Would you forgive them, Lord? Hallelujah, God. Lord, if there's relationships that need to be restored, if there's forgiveness that we need to extend, help us, God. If there's things that we need to get rid of in our life, help us, Lord. We recognize today, each one of us today, God, show us, your Holy Spirit can show us areas of our life that we need to get rid of things. We need to change. We need to dedicate more to you. Whatever it is today, God. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts and our minds, our ears to hear you speak to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Worship team, go ahead and begin leading us. We'll pray a little bit more here in just a moment. Hallelujah.
Here is where I lay down every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay down. Every doubt and every doubt, this is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. I will make room for you. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. This is my surrender.
Oh God. Holy Spirit, God, move in our life. Congregation, I challenge you right now. We're going to sing this song again and make room for God in your life. Respond to His word today. Don't just walk out of this place. If you need to come forward and spend moments with the Lord, if you need to spend time in His presence, in your spot, that's fine. But let's respond. Let's confess of those things and our need for Him. Give Him a few moments in this time. The Holy Spirit will heal.